Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of American Hit Radio.
Coming
to you.
Breaking out your new deep voice.
It's my new deep voice, yes. It's because this is the first show we're doing in the dark, I think. It's since they've pushed the clocks back an hour. So it's weird being it's dark at 5 o'clock now. This is our first dark show this year. But, so
spooky.
I guess it's affecting my voice.
Scary.
Well, we are here, we being myself, Tom Ryan, and of course my lovely
Heidi
wife.
Heidi Morales Ryan.
That's right. Still functioning after this crazy week. And glad to say that it is 5 o'clock on Friday. I'm
Yay!
Hoping that you're
woo,
thinking
woo.
The same thing. Perhaps you're on your way home or just wrapping things up at the office. Really glad to have you aboard, though, as we get ready to begin yet another episode of our Friday version of American Hit Radio. We call it How Music Changed on Fridays. We mix things up and do a little bit of music history. For about 3 or 4 months now, we've been looking at the British Invasion. And I got to say, it's been one of my most fun series for me. I'm enjoying it because most of the music is at least usually very good. And if not good, at least very interesting.
Yes.
And it's been fun. And this is episode number 15 where we are at today. And we are picking up in the very late part of 1966 as it starts to bleed into 1967. And it's sort of interesting. I don't know if it's a total coincidence, if it was just something that seemed to have happened, but when I'm looking at the songs for today's show, it seems that there's an awful lot of them are having this very British-centric sort of a bent in terms of their subject matter or the style of the songs. I don't know what would cause that to happen, but it just seems fairly interesting. For example,
because they're British.
Well, yeah, but the first thing that was happening was, like, obviously for the first few years of the British invasion, most of that stuff was very American-centric. They were playing American rock and roll
the
hits.
Blues stuff.
And yeah. Ton of American blues. What is happening here, I think, is that the times have changed enough so that rock and roll is beginning to get a little bit more florid and the psychedelic effect
the
is beginning to come in.
Taking effect.
Yeah, perhaps. And the whole British sense of self, I think, was beginning to come out in songs. So if you were British, I guess it was a matter of, like, just express yourself, be yourself. So a lot of the songs seem to have British subject matter. I mean, not everything, but it just seems to be there. And you'll see what I mean as we get through it. For example, Peter and Gordon, we haven't covered them for a while.
And, those two again?
Yeah, right. This is like we're near the way out. In fact, I think we'll have two songs from them today, and that will be the last we hear from them. We'll say goodbye to them after these two tracks. But they hadn't been on the top 10 since 1965, January of 65, with I Go to Pieces. They had a few other hits since then, but most of them cover songs of American artists. Mm-hmm. But now they're back with something distinctly different. An English tale that went top 10. Probably because of its novelty factor. A bit of a sexy song, I suppose, in a silly way. Peter and Gordon doing Lady Godiva.
Mm-mm. 17, a beauty queen. She made a ride that caused a scene in the town. Her long blonde hanging down around her knees, all the cats who dig striptease, praying for a little breeze. Her long blonde hair falling down across her arms, hiding all the latest charms. Lady Godiva, she found fame and made her name. A Hollywood director came into town and said to her, how'd you like to be a star? You're a girl who could go far, especially dressed the way you are. She smiled at him, gave her pretty head a shake. That was Lady G's mistake. Lady Godiva, he directs Certificate X, and people now a crane in their necks to see her. 'Cause she's a star, one that everybody knows. Finished with the striptease shows, now she can't afford her clothes. Her long blonde hair lying on the barber's floor, doesn't need it long anymore. Lady Godiva.
There's a song we haven't heard in quite a while.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
For real?
For real.
Wow. In 1966, actually in October of 1966, that song was sitting at number 6. It was a pretty big hit.
Huh.
I remember it fairly well.
Not at all.
Story
not...
of Lady Godiva back in those days. And again, like I said, you know, one of these things where you can just see how like the topicality of the songs are, you know, basically steering back to England. And it's unusual that it just suddenly started to happen at this point in time. Another band that they were very late to the table. I had mentioned that when we played their... the first top 10 hit, it might have been last week, were The Hollies. And I still can't really explain well why they had been so popular for so long in England and yet not crossing over here in America until really the song Bus Stop came out in July of 1966. But that's all that they needed. Once they had established a foothold with their first top 10 hit, that meant that the rest of them were sure to follow suit as well. And this was their follow-up single to that. It is actually my personal favorite Holly song. And it's another, I guess, another sort of a naughty song, like Lady Godiva is a naughty song.
Mm-hmm.
It falls in the same, I guess, sexy subject matter. It's the Holly singing, stop, 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 all the dancing.
See the girl with symbols on her fingers entering through the door. Ruby glistening from her navel, shimmering around the floor. Bells of beat go ting-a-ling-a-linging, going through my head. Sweat is falling just like a teardrop's running from her head. Now she's dancing, going through the movement, swaying to and fro. Body moving, bringing back a memory, thoughts of long ago. Blood is rushing, temperature is rising, sweating from my brow. Like a snake, her body fascinates me, I can't look away now. Stop, stop, stop all the dancing, give me time to breathe. Stop, stop, stop all the dancing, or I have to leave. Now she's moving all around the tables, luring all in sight. But I know that she cannot see me, hidden by the light. Closer, closer, she's getting nearer, soon she'll be in reach. As I enter into a spotlight, she stands lost for speech. Stop, stop, stop all the dancing, give me time to breathe. Stop, stop, stop all the dancing, or I have to leave. Knocking over tables, spilling all the drinks. Can't they understand that I want her? Happens every week. Heavy hand upon my collar, throws me in the street. Stop, stop, stop all the dancing, give me time to breathe. Stop, stop, stop all the dancing, or I'll have to leave.
I think it's a pretty cool pop song. I always loved that song.
Yeah, that's definitely a something that's right up your alley. You always like those kind of frantic, crazy energy songs.
There's something about, I think what it is like it's around this time period when pop, certain songs anyway, became very, very, very imaginative and creative in the way that they were utilizing melody and instrumentation and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was a great example. It really didn't sound like anything else before or since. That song is very unique unto itself. So I think it stands out really nicely as one of the better hits of the British Invasion. Now, being, again, as if to make my point, the songs that were coming out of Britain and how English they were, I mean, this is as blunt of an example as I can possibly think of. This, first of all, it's done in the style of a very old-fashioned American hit.
Mm-hmm.
But something, I mean, I guess because of the subject matter and I guess the accents as well, it's so bluntly English that it perfectly fits into what the point I'm trying to make about the way music was in the latter part of 1966. What's also really interesting is I don't think many people remember this at all, but at the time in 1966, the way that the charts were going at this point, this is when Good Vibrations was fighting to become number one. Well, this song that we're about to play sat at number one, got knocked away from number one by Good Vibrations for just one single week. And then this song knocked Good Vibrations out of the number one spot again and went back to number one for two consecutive weeks.
It's pretty wild.
In retrospect, it's impossible for me to believe that Good Vibrations would only get 1 week at number one while this song would get 3 weeks. This song is pretty much virtually forgotten, except as a novelty number at this point. But it was huge in the latter part of 1966. The name of the group was the New Vaudeville Band, and the song,
Winchester Cathedral.
Pip-pip. Very British, right?
Yes.
Number one. I remember that now. I mean, I probably haven't heard that for decades. But like I said, it was a novelty number back then. At this point, it seems like the British Invasion was responsible for basically giving us a lot of English novelty.
I say.
The New Vaudeville Band with Winchester Cathedral. We are covering Songs of the British Invasion. This is our 15th show, 1-5. All dedicated to music that the British had been supplying America with since January of 1964. And we've been doing this chronologically. And right now we find ourselves in the throes of a rebirth of, I guess, the English spirit in late 1966. Something which, I guess, just happens, you know, it's just happens to something's in the air that causes things like that to happen. The Herman's Hermits.
Yes.
Up until this point, every single of theirs, all 12 of them, had broken the top 20 in America.
They were doing swimmingly.
They were doing fantastic. A dozen singles, every single one in the top 20. 10 of the 12 into the top 10, easily. This is the first song of theirs that missed that sort of a chart position. Stalling at number 27 around December of 1966. Herman's Hermits with a song called East West.
East, west, over the ocean, perpetual motion, traveling around, no rest, singing and playing, night out and day in, doing the rounds. What a great life it must seem.
What a great life it must
swear joints, everything classy, nothing that's passy, only the best. Lush girls, ogling and dying, crying and sighing, this is success. What a great life it must seem.
What a great life it must seem.
But when I hear young voices singing out the bells at home come ringing up, and I feel all alone, then I think of my home. Mom, Dad, all round the fire, in festive attire, keeping the day. Aunts, kids, all the relations, congratulations, this is success. What a great life it must be.
What a great life it must be.
But when I hear young voices singing out through the bells at home's long ringing out, then I feel all alone, then I long for my home.
Boy, the hits were still very short back in 1966. Let me tell you, that song doesn't even clock in at 2 minutes. A minute 57, in fact.
Hey, Herman's Hermits. Some of the best songs are short songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, that wasn't a bad little song. I don't think many people remember it. I certainly didn't. I know a lot of the Herman's Hermits stuff, but I didn't remember that one. Here's another one that I don't remember. You know, we made a big stink, or I did anyway, regarding how the animals, you know, proceeded to shoot themselves in the foot as deliberately as any band possibly could.
We hate the hits you're making for us.
You're making us play all these great songs. We quit. Man. And this really, you know, they were complaining because they wanted to be a blues band. And like I said, it was at a time when that was beginning to go out of fashion anyway. So the songs that they were being fed were fantastic for their times. But nevertheless, they did the damage to themselves. Eric Burdon takes over the band with a new bunch of players, calls it Eric Burdon and the Animals, came out with a song which was blues-based afterward. Looked like it might have been onto something, actually, because the song did go to number 10. That was C.C. Rider, which I believe we
played
last
it,
week.
Yes.
And yet, here he is now, the follow-up hit to that, and he totally abandons any pretense of trying to play the blues at all. He's back to playing pop music, although he could do anything he wants to here. He's obviously moving away, sensing, finally, that the times are changing, and puts out this track, which has virtually nothing to do with the blues at all, as far as I can tell. And it also didn't really do particularly well on, you know, the word I meant to say.
Yes.
On the charts either. Stalling at number 29, which was not their worst chart position up to this point, but, you know, certainly, you know, not
particularly. It wasn't a number one.
Right, exactly. Or even a top 10 hit for them. But nevertheless, it's the Animals with, at this point, Eric Burdon and the Animals with the track called Help Me Girl.
Girl, have you ever been hungry? So hungry. got that feeling, that biting, gnawing deep inside. It's a funny pain, one I can't explain. You gotta help me, girl. Help me, girl.
Help me, girl. My career is sinking into the tank. And I need somebody.
Oh, that's mean.
He actually does manage to come back and do quite well. So I am being, you know, unnecessarily mean to Eric, who actually was a very influential person on the entire British movement, obviously.
Yeah,
very
so watch your mouth.
Very distinctive voice. I'm very surprised by this next entry coming at this point in time so soon, because as you are well aware, of course, we just started our show playing Peter and Gordon with their version of Lady Godiva, and yet what's
and they're
really
back again
already, and
wow,
I mean, in not just barely 2 months' time.
Wow, 1-2 punch.
Yeah, this track didn't do as well. While Lady Godiva reached number 6, this song again, sort of an English topic, you know, knights. You think of, you know, when you think of knights, you think of Knights of the Round Table or something British,
something like that, jousting and yeah, all that good stuff.
It's a British thing, knights. It's not an American thing. So yet again, I'm just trying to
it's
figure
a European
out how these songs
thing actually
true, but this squeezes into that idea of it being more or less like, you know, more British-centric than American.
Yes.
In terms of what was coming out of Great Britain at this time. Peter and Gordon once again, back so soon, with Knight in Rusty Armor.
Long ago in days of old, there lived a knight who wasn't quite as bold as a knight should be. He rode an old gray mare called Bess, searching for a damsel in distress, just to see if he could set her free. See the rusty armor ride to her aid. Trusty sword is hanging at his side, with a rusty blade. Up the tower steps he sneaked, but as he moved, his rusty armor squeaked such a mournful note. And all the sentries at their post thought it must have been the castle ghost. They jumped for their lives.
in the mold. So the knight in rusty armor won his fair maid. Had no need to draw his trusty sword with a rusty blade. As he bent to kiss his bride, he found that he was rusted up inside. In his battle dress, then I can't guess how they still got married and had twins. They came in tin. Chainmail pants with a missing link.
Oh, the British.
That's goofy. Chainmail pants with a missing link. Come on, get real.
Hey, I was a number 15 song, believe it or not, back then.
It's more more than I've ever had.
Well, Wave Goodbye, exactly. So, you know, they deserve some credit for that. Wave goodbye to them, though, because that will be the last we'll be hearing from them in this series covering the British invasion. That was really their last entry into the top 20. They did have one more song later on that just squeaked into the top 40, a song called Sunday for Tea. Stopped at number 31. I don't think we'll be having time for that next week, though, with all the other things we will be covering. So thank you very much, Peter and Gordon. It's been wonderful having you around.
It's been swell.
They had a pretty decent career. I mean, Peter Asher in particular, he went on to become a record producer in Los Angeles, responsible for an awful lot of Linda Ronstadt's career, produced most of her hit records, in fact. So.
Well, now you know whose feet to hold to the fire.
There you go. Exactly right. Let's see. What's up next? Ah, hi to your favorite, Pet Clark.
Yay.
Back yet again. At this point, let's see. I don't even know how many hits she's had. There have been numerous. I can count them, though. Let's see. She's had 8 hits so far.
Mm-hmm.
A good percentage of them into all of them almost into the top 20. I mean, they stopped number 22, 21, 21. So, I mean, those are reasonable positions. This song, which I don't remember at all, but at the very end of 1966, this went up to number 16, sitting just in back of that Peter and Gordon track. A song by Pet Clark called Color My World.
Everything.
very interested by that song by Pet Clark. It sounds like Earl, our engineer, was saying that it sounded like she was a bit ahead of her time, and I agree with him completely. That could have been like a mid-'80s or even an early 90s country hit. I could easily
have seen
that.
It did have like cheesy keyboard in there, so I could see where that could be confused with an 80s song.
It had all of the elements of like what modern country had been moving toward, I think, in the past couple of decades. So fairly, I find it interesting, but it's something else.
I don't know why, but she just leaves me.
So she's flat, huh?
Yeah.
I like her.
She's a flat leaver.
Now, I've got to play catch up with myself, because every now and then, I mean, understand that when I am doing these shows, there's no definitive database that I can go to and say, let me download that list of all the British Invasion songs. You know, I've got to compile these things myself and figure out what songs I'm going to be playing from them. And it takes a little bit to compile. And of course, every now and then you might recognize that you skipped something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that now with this next band. I was going to be playing a different song by them, thinking this would be the first thing I'd be playing for them would be the song from 1966. And I'm realizing that I should have played another track way back in cover them from March of 1965. Now, I might have missed them because technically they are an Australian band.
Ah.
The Seekers is the group I'm talking about, sort of a country act from Australia, sort of in the same vein as like the new Christy Minstrels, that sort of thing.
So how are you getting them in on the British Invasion then?
Well, because they definitely rose to popularity through Great Britain. It was their connection from Australia. We never would have heard them if it wasn't for the fact that they were connected to Great Britain. And it was definitely the English aspect of what they were about that caused us to hear them.
So they rode in on the coattails.
Absolutely. So, and this song went all the way to number 4 in 1965, so I definitely should have been a part of this series then. So let's play a little bit of catch-up now and play that song from March of 1965, The Seekers performing I'll Never Find Another You. Rather incredibly, because I was right in the middle of the British invasion and, you know, with the Beatles and Help and all that stuff happening. It was very late in the time frame of the folk movement, too.
To have this song come out, yes.
Yeah.
It's so kind of square sounding, though. It's...
Yeah, that type of singing is about just about as old school as out of fashion as Rudy Valley's style of singing. You know, you just could never get away with having it singing like that this day and age.
Yeah, it's very stiff sounding.
And yet, here we are, and I know we're back in the present. Well, not this present, but the present of where we are with the British invasion, which is to say late December of 1966. And they come back with another song that performs even better on the charts than that.
Is it just as stiff?
I would think so, yeah. But it's, again, so gloriously British that it fits right into this pattern of what I'm talking about how everything suddenly seemed to be so Brit-centric around this time. The Seekers, with a number two hit from late 1966. You probably remember this one, called Georgie Girl.
Hey there, Georgie Girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie Girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try? Or is it the clothes you wear?
You're always window shopping, but never stopping to buy.
So shed those dowdy feathers and fly
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be. The world would see a new Georgie girl. A reality, you can't always run away.
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
It's time for jumping down from the shell
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be.
Wake up, Georgie girl. The Seekers. Eventually, I think they became the New Seekers. And I think it was the New Seekers who were responsible for that Coke commercial. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Oh.
Perfect harmony, all that stuff. So it goes to show you that history goes on. Now, let's get a little bit more, at least contemporary sounding. I mean, it is 1966. This is probably one of the most progressive times for pop music. So it's kind of strange that all of a sudden out of England, we're hearing things like Knight in Rusty Armor and Lady Godiva and Georgie Girl, you know? This is late 1966, people. Cool stuff
Wake
is happening
up.
On the charts. I know you wouldn't know it by my show right now, but that was, you know, obviously this is like about as progressive as rock and roll was going to get was in this era. The Beatles had already put out Rain, for God's sake, and Paperback Writer. The Stones, you know, were obviously at the peak of their game. So, you know, what's going on? Well, we have a new entry, actually. This is their first American hit that we're going to be playing by this group, known as the Spencer Davis Group. Another group that actually rose to fame by signing with producer Chris Blackwell. Chris Blackwell is the guy with Island Records, the guy who was very responsible in so many ways for making the Northern Hemisphere aware of what was happening in Jamaican music. He was had very strong ties with Jamaican culture and had his label called Island Records, that he was establishing in Great Britain and was bringing in all of the ska bands and the rock steady bands. And that was really his main intent. But he had signed the Spencer Davis Group onto his label. And they actually, what the Spencer Davis Group was, their very first hit was a West Indian song. It was written by a Jamaican named Jackie Edwards. The song was called Keep On Running. And it went to number one in Great Britain. In the U.S., it just barely hit the Hot 100. Nobody remembers this song at all. Totally, you know, forgotten. So I can't play it because, as I said, you know, I'm limiting my focus here to not only just the British invasion.
That would be one of my exceptions.
I would love to hear it, but that it didn't even make the top 40, and I really want to be strict about that.
Then why are you even telling us about it?
Well, because I think it's fascinating to think that the song went to number one in Great Britain, and it barely even scratched the surface here in America, while their second hit actually did amazingly
well. Benedict Arnold was right.
They followed up with this track. They wrote this one themselves, and this goes all the way into the top 10, number 7, and it is certainly one of the most famous songs out of anything that came out of the British invasion by the Spencer Davis Group, with lead vocalist, I think you know who this is, Stevie Winwood, playing organ. Song is called Gimme Some Lovin'. You know, I would say, in my opinion now, stylistically, that song was actually a little bit of a throwback as well from what was happening in 1966. I wouldn't call it a progressive track for its time, but it was certainly amazingly classic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a really awesome groove. And man, Stevie Winwood with those vocal chops of his. I mean, he was like 16 years old when that record was made.
Wow, that's stunning.
That. It's a kid.
He had a very mature sounding voice for a kid.
Yeah, it's like a 16-year-old who's able to like channel Ray Charles. That's something, man. That's just saying something. Great track still. Now, moving on. Somebody we haven't heard from in a while, actually, because his career began to slip a little bit
oopsie
after
doopsie.
Its initial push, was Tom Jones. Came out of the gate really strong.
Tom Jones. Jones?
It's Not Unusual was a top 10 hit for him in, you know, early 65. What's New Pussycat was great for him as well. But he put out a lot of singles that kind of did nothing for most of 66. A song called Chills and Fever, number 125. A track called Promise Her Anything went to number 74. Hmm. No winner. Not Responsible stopped at number 58. What a Party didn't even make the top 100, stopped at number 120. So now it's time for a reinvention. Somebody needed to do something. So his manager decided that they was going to help him with an image change. It's going to maturate him a little bit. Stop looking like the Wild Man and maybe put him in a tuxedo.
Sweet.
And start doing some crooning.
Yeah.
And doing some a little bit more traditional type music.
That was a good idea.
So they landed him, well, it turned out to be, because they gave him some country material to sing. And it was this song that brought him back to the forefront of the charts, going just missing the top 10, stopping at number 11, Tom Jones with his version of Green, Green Grass of Home.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train, and there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry, and there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Then I awake and look around me at four gray walls that surround me, and I realize, yes, I was only dreaming. For there's a God, a sad old heartbreak. On and on we'll walk at daybreak. Again I'll touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to see me in the shade of that old oak tree as they lay me green, green grass of home.
Quite the tearjerker, that one.
Yeah.
I remember it in its day, that song. I
think can't believe that never made my list of sad and sorry songs.
Oh, how could it not? If you had a list of sad and sorry songs?
Yeah.
That's sad and sorry.
I know.
I mean, the list is sad and sorry.
That's my list of my secret list of songs that make you have to pull the car over to the side of the road because you're crying.
You get weepy. Yeah.
I'm all for clipped.
Well, if we're talking about artists who are, you know, basically, you know, almost overtly British, there are a few that are more overtly British than Donovan. And he actually, as we're nearing the end of our show, actually has yet another song that reached the top 20 around this time. A really goofy title. The song was entitled Epistle to Dippy. And what? What it basically is it's an open letter to a friend of his. He had a friend who was in the army serving in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just wanted to write and basically just read him a letter of support and send off some share some of his own memories of him to let him know what he thought of him. And the song is essentially that, just a simple open letter. And I guess that's why it is an epistle to Dippy by Donovan.
Look on yonder misty mountain, see the young monk meditating, rhododendron forest. Over dusty hills, I ask you, what has been like being you? Through all levels you've been changing, getting a little bit better, no doubt. The doctor bit was so far out, looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun. Doing house paper back reader made the teacher suspicious about insanity. Fingers always touching, girl. Through our levels you've been changing, getting a little bit better, no doubt. The doctor bit was so far out, looking through all kinds of windows, I could see I had your fun. Looking through all kinds of windows, I can see I had your fun. Looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun. Looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun. Rebel against society, such a tiny speculating whether to play a hip hop. Skip along quite merrily. Through our levels you've been changing. Elevator in the brain hotel. Broken down but just as well. Looking through crystal spectacles. Oh, I can see I had your fun.
That is a strange track.
That is weird. It's cool, though. It's
interesting. In its own way, yeah. Hey, let me remind all the listeners right now really quickly, just before we play our last song, that the show, of course, is called American Hit Radio. The Friday version is called How Music Changed, and we post all of our shows on the internet. So if you want to hear the show again, you can. It's really easy. Just go to our website. Also, if you want to hear other shows in this series or in any of our other series, we have a good, I'd say, over 400 shows now posted on our website. It's really simple. Just go to your computer, type in American Hit Network, three different words, or American Hit Radio. All the same, it doesn't matter. Just search on that, and it'll take you right to our website, the very first finding. And there you will see, right on the webpage, at the very top, our Wednesday show will be available on the left side of the page. Our Friday show, this show, will eventually be available on the right side. Last week's show is up there now, and 200 weeks before that, all sitting there on our website, American Hit Radio is all you need to search on. So there you have it. If you want to get some of back history, if you got some catching up to do, help yourself. I'd love to have you to know you were visiting us. Meanwhile, we've got time for one more. And it's another band that we've already heard from today. Herman's Hermits had to basically make up for the fact that they actually released a song that didn't go into the top 15.
What?
That was stunning when East West stopped at number 27. So they make up for it handily with this song, which is actually the biggest, I would say, not in chart position, but probably the song that they are remembered for more than any other song of their career. Went to number 4. I remember this quite well. One of my favorite songs by Herman's Hermits, a track called There's a Kind of Hush. Hope you can stay with us and see us next week on Wednesday and Friday at 5. Heidi, thank you so much. Earl,
bye-bye.
You too. See you all next week. Bye, everyone.
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight. All over the world, you can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean, just the two of us and nobody else in sight. There's nobody else, and I'm feeling good just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. It isn't a dream. The only sound that you will hear is when I whisper in your ear, I love you. Sound.